I am really pleased to welcome back Eric Morris and Patrick Hunter from the Barn Theater. And we were together last week on the show. We learned that Eric Morris is a director and an actor who came up through the apprenticeship program at the Barn Theater. Patrick Hunter also, and they've known each other for forever, just about, and great friends, and have worked together in so many different ways. For last week's SpongeBob SquarePants, which still continues through the end of the week, through August 15th. Eric is directing, Patrick is starring as Patrick Starr. And we're here today to preview the opening of The Wedding Singer at the Barn Theater, which starts August 17th. That's next Tuesday. You can get your tickets right now at barntheaterschool.org. And welcome back, both of you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks to be happy to be back.
It's great to have you here. So The Wedding Singer, first of all, my goodness, how is it humanly possible to have two shows in your head at once? I can't really.
Well, Patrick has to have two. SpongeBob is on stage and going swimmingly. So, I don't have to keep that as much in my brain. I can take a little bit of that and put some space for The Wedding Singer. But of course, it's certainly been a dream to watch the cast and watch Patrick do SpongeBob every night for the last week, so it's going super well. But you can talk about the two show thing in your brain.
I love doing two shows at once. For me, it's almost like they exist in a different section of my brain. So I have the one that is the one that's running. It almost feels relaxing to go into that because it's something that I know that's like, I've worked on, that is like in my muscle memory and like in my, the words are just sort of in my mouth and in my brain, And so then I have the one that during the day when we're in rehearsal, The Wedding Singer, I can actually sort of actively work on creating it. It's kind of two different skill sets or two different muscles, or at least that's how I think about it. And it's really fun. I like – that's part of what I like the most about the way we do theater at the Barn, where you're always sort of back-to-back-to-back in two-week stock, is that you always get to work on something new. You always get to approach a new challenge. And so I personally love that.
So where someone like me would think the two things would get hopelessly confused in your mind, you're saying they don't. They stay separate.
I think so. Yeah, especially because most of the musicals that we do are sort of vastly different in terms of style and tone and just the world of the play, and the characters are different.
That's so enough.
I'm able to keep them apart.
Wonderful. I've always wondered, Eric, how directors – they work extremely hard to prepare a show for opening night. And then they often go off. And, like, the show has to run itself. It's sort of like you can't be there to keep helping. And that seems a little sad because you worked so hard and you don't really get the payoff of the performances. How does that work for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's always sad to kind of, say goodbye in a sense to being, involved actually in the space with the performers, with the, kind of more of that collaborative experience. But it's very exciting to see how the show grows and blossoms and as performers start to feel more comfortable and more confident and their impulses really start to take over and some really, really magical things start to happen once kind of the reins of a director or choreographer are off. Obviously there's moments where notes need to be given that maybe something, went a little too far, or maybe, we need to revert back to kind of what we had in the beginning. But it's an amazing experience to see how, even just in a short amount of time, 2 weeks, it's amazing to see how the show grows and flows and just becomes something, you know, not completely different from what we had, but the energy certainly changes, you know. It's not super sad, you know. The collaborative process and being hands-on is amazing, but part of the joy of being a director is, you know, coming back and seeing how your show is, you know, really just blossomed into a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful piece.
It's amazing how the cast will gel. From disparate things to just kind of silently agreeing on tone and pace and all.
Well, and at the barn too, we have such a, you know, limited kind of tech rehearsal time too. You know, I mean, we really, you know, we have two kind of what we call shop shows the weekend before we open, where we essentially perform the show in the scene shop where the set is being built. You know, so we do get in theory 2 days of a tech for that, but then we move over to the theater on Sunday night. We have Monday to do some lighting stuff and costume stuff, and then we open on Tuesday. So we really, you know, there's not a week of tech. There's 2 days of tech. So it's also, you know, that's something too that's amazing to see how those components start to gel and how those components really, you know, add to the flow of the show and add to the performances, and it just becomes so cohesive. So, you know. It's wonderful to see.
Eric Morris is the star of the next production, The Wedding Singer, which starts August 17th, next Tuesday, and will run until August 29th. Patrick Hunter is in the show playing Sammy, his the best friend of the main character, a bassist. And one of the things before we move on to the story of The Wedding Singer, a lot of us know it already, what you're describing, this incredibly fast pace, I just want to make sure that listeners understand that it's only because this is done at a very high level that it's possible. I mean, it sounds frantic and slipshod, but it is not. It's only possible because of the professional level at the Barn Theater.
Right. Well, and we were just talking, you brought it up the other day that, you know, in this show in particular with, you know, the two of us and Melissa and some, you know, it really feels like that we're like a stock company, that we're able to go into the rehearsal room, kind of, you know, pencil in some blocking, pencil in some movement, and know that, you know, we feel comfortable with each other. We feel comfortable with what each other's bringing and the professionalism that's going to happen. And we can kind of move quickly knowing that when we come back to it, the next time we come back to it, it's going to be fully fleshed out and we'll have, you know, different choices and different ideas. And it's a comfortability that's very, you know, that's very, like, you know, comfortability that's comforting to know that it's going to happen and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Especially as the season goes on, you start to learn that, you know, you learn your fellow actors, you know, and so you understand that, okay, if I do this, then this person's going to do that. And then you have that sort of give and take, and then you build in that trust so that you can feel comfortable having a limited rehearsal schedule, mm-hmm. and saying, okay, I trust this person. I know we know each other. We know what each other's going to do before we do it, you know, so we can just kind of let it go a little bit and not have to have a million reps of it.
An invisible safety net.
Right,
exactly.
Well, let's hear about The Wedding Singer. Let's talk to the listener who's like, I've never heard of The Wedding Singer. So there's this, sad sack. I mean, not exactly. Actually, he's doing just fine in 1985. Mm-hmm. Robbie Hart is the most successful wedding singer in his region, in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So everything's going great for him.
Yeah.
Then what?
Well, then, right at the top, we learn that he's engaged to be married. So obviously for a wedding singer who loves love and, you know, loves being a part of, you know, other people's, you know, wedding experiences and bringing joy to that, you know, it's going to be the biggest day of his life. He's, you know, he says in the play, he says, beginning a new life, a life of love. You know, he's obsessed with love. And unfortunately, he gets stood up at the altar by his bride with a note. She sends a note with her mother to give to Robbie, and he has to read it while he's standing on the altar waiting for her, which of course, you know, ruins his life and and ruins his career and sends him kind of into this, you know, this tailspin of depression and, you know, just a sadness. And he just, he can't do his job as well as he, as well as he needs to anymore. He's a wedding singer, and what a terrible experience to be a wedding singer that got stood up at the altar. So, yeah, that kind of sparks the story as it moves forward for him. And he it's a waitress that tends to work at the banquet hall that he tends to be the wedding singer at, and she's engaged to be married as well to a Wall Street broker, lots of money. You know, Robbie also still lives with his grandma. He lives in his grandma's basement, so he's, you know, he enjoys his job, but he's a little down on his luck.
We know this about musicians.
We know that. We know it's for the art, right? It's for the art. But you know, through kind of her support of him and their kind of, you know, running into each other at these different events, and she's trying to pick him back up, they kind of start to, there's a little spark, a little fire that develops. So then it turns into this, you know, beautiful romantic comedy of two people who are, you know, kind of pining for each other, whether or not they know it or not. And there's just some situations that are keeping them from being successful at falling in love. So it turns into a beautiful, beautiful romantic comedy of two people finding love. And yeah, and we travel through the 80s, and it's, you know, obviously based on this movie from 1998 starring Adam Sandler, that's truly just a lovely, lovely film. At one of Adam Sandler's, you know, I think we were talking about this, we think that's kind of Adam Sandler at his peak.
Mm-hmm. Perfectly cast.
Yeah. Totally. You know. Well, and it's really heartfelt, you know, and it's not sort of the kind of silly, zany side of Adam Sandler. That's certainly there, but it's also, well, you know, kind of a little simpler and sweeter, you know.
Drew Barrymore does a wonderful job of just sort of
absolutely
making him sympathetic.
Right, and it's a really, you know, it's a really sweet movie, and the show has really kept a lot of that, of the integrity of that that relationship, you know, while adding a lot of really fun music to it.
That's the thing. You go to a musical adaptation of a film you love or something you're familiar with, you often find yourself feeling like this is all brand new.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As it really is a reworking, and the way theater creative teams work, it just, things morph
right
dramatically sometimes.
Yeah, like my character in particular is one that is sort of taken from the film and reimagined a little bit. You know, he has this friend Sammy in the movie who's sort of his confidant, and who sort of always gives him advice on romance and women and such. But in the show, they've actually made Sammy his bandmate, and given him a little bit of a foil in Sammy, because Robbie is really focused on this, on what he does, which is being a wedding singer. And mm-hmm. it's really important to him that he's there to support people on the biggest day of their lives, whereas Sammy is a little more focused on the music, right? He's a little more of a rock and roll guy, and he wants to get back out there and really
dreams of grandeur.
Yeah, dreams. Yeah, exactly. To be a rock star, you know.
People should remember the bass playing at the wedding.
So he really, like, he tries to help Robbie out of this funk that he's in, but he also has his kind of his own vision of what that is going to look like, you know. And then they also work in a little bit of a love story for Sammy too, as kind of like the secondary couple with Julia, her cousin Holly, who is depicted in the film, but she doesn't have that sort of that romantic relationship with the Sammy character in the movie. But they've added that to the musical because it's a musical, you know.
Right. And, well, and like I said, those teams are like, why can't we?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they fleshed it out a little bit and kind of made, you know, made the secondary characters, I think, a little more active, which you can do in a musical. Mm-hmm. Whereas in a film, you have to sort of, you know, follow the main storyline for the most part.
Yep. You have less time.
Right.
Let's take a break and hear It's Your Wedding Day from The Wedding Singer. I'm with Eric Morris, who will play Robbie Hart starting next Tuesday. I'm with Patrick Hunter, who's Sammy, the best friend and bassist. The Wedding Singer opens at the Barn Theater next week, continues through August 29th, and we'll be back with Eric and Patrick to talk more about The Wedding Singer. Like being shot out of a cannon, Eric said. This musical gets started with that propulsive 80s sound, and I imagine it just keeps going from there.
Sure does.
It never stops. I can attest, because don't leave stage very much.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's an incredibly grabbing opening number. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes shows just take their time to get into it, but I mean, I'd just be like, holy cow, I'm in for a roller coaster.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
And all of the music is while it's original music written for the show itself, it's all reminiscent of various styles of pop and rock from the 80s. You know, like there's one song that sounds a lot like We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yeah.
And there are a couple songs that sound like kind of like some of the songs for the female characters sound almost like a Madonna tune or like mm-hmm. a Cyndi Lauper tune or that sort of kind of 80s girl pop kind of sound.
There's a lot of that like that foreigner synth comes yep. in before a mm-hmm. couple, you know, bum, 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 bum. You know, that's very.
And then there's even like
prevalent.
A Thriller
yeah.
sort of
yeah.
reference too. And again, it's not direct reference, but it is, you know, clearly a homage that they're paying to a lot of the different musical styles from that decade.
Oh, Boy George as well.
Yeah, there's Boy George. There's a character from the film, directly from the film, who is a Boy George sort of. I don't know what you would call him. He's not an impersonator, but he just sort of has modeled himself
yeah,
after
modeled
that.
After that, sure. character.
After that character, yeah.
I was born in 1970. This would be just catnip.
Yeah.
I mean, all those names just bring out instant mm-hmm. bursts of nostalgia. Should mention that the music is by Matthew Sklar, mm-hmm. and I have heard that name before. I think he's a super pro on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Book by Chad Begalin and Tim Herlihy with lyrics by Chad Begalin is, I'm guessing that's how you say it.
Yeah, and Tim Herlihy wrote the screenplay for the film, so
He's back.
You know, the script for the musical definitely has, you know, a lot of the lines that you remember from the film they're in there as well. So,
and while we're talking about the show and how it got started, we need to mention a really cool local kind of connection,
mm-hmm.
And that would be actor Stephen Lynch, who grew up partly in Saginaw and then studied at Western Michigan University
mm-hmm.
and has a huge role in making this show come
yes,
to life.
Yes, he was the original Robbie Hart on Broadway, and he is also Stephen Lynch is one of our beloved Barn alumni, and he has he did multiple seasons at the Barn, both as an apprentice and then also as a equity actor once he sort of was on his way up, and he's of course most famous for his musical stand-up comedy that he has toured all around the world with, and he really was very, very popular in the early 2000s, which kind of led him to be the choice to originate the role of Robbie Hart on Broadway because it was a perfect fit. He's a great musician, a great singer, and also just a really funny performer. So he was the the choice to be the Adam Sandler role when the show went to Broadway, and he did a fantastic job. Got him a Tony nomination yep. for that as well. But yeah, he's a local boy from around here.
You'll see him on the cover of the August issue of Encore.
Okay. And there's the song we just heard. There's a video there on YouTube. You can check out the Tony Award performance mm-hmm. that same song and see Stephen Lynch run around the stage like a crazy man. It's pretty impressive watching him do what he does in that opening number.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. Something else that I neglected to ask you about last week is a program that the Barn Theater offers to kids of school age that will really give them a look at the true effort and behind the scenes dedication that it takes to put on a show. Mm-hmm. It's called Backstage Experience, and Patrick, you're prepared to talk about.
Oh,
that.
Sure, yeah. The Backstage Experience is our youth outreach program that we do because we want to offer a chance for kids from the area, sort of K through 12 age. Although Wedding Singer is a little more on the PG-13 side, so we do recommend that parents sort of check that out before signing their kids up for the Backstage Experience for this one. It is a great opportunity for them to not only see the show and see a professional production, but we tour them around to the different departments backstage, and we discuss with them the show that they're about to see and how each department approached that show. So they'll see some scenery and some props, and they'll actually talk to the designers and the technicians who built those, and they'll talk about how they built them and why they built them the way they did and what materials they used. And makeup and wigs is a big one that we're doing for SpongeBob, probably for Wedding Singer too, because the 80s are all about hair, and and we're very fortunate to have our hair and wig master in Gary Lee McCormick with over 40 years of experience at the Barn of doing hair and wigs. So I know that in the Backstage Experience for SpongeBob, they're talking about, kind of how to create that sort of undersea world and how to do that, how to tell that story with hair and makeup. And they also will do a little choreography, and they'll do a little sample from the show, and they'll get to actually learn the dancing, and they'll talk about, why different characters move a certain way. And so they really get a full view of what it is to put on a show that's beyond just the ultimate product they see on stage, which, of course, then as part of their program, they get to see the show. And then we do a little talk back after where they get to ask questions to the actors and ask them kind of about that and about approaching a show and just about acting in general. And it's a really comprehensive look at the inner workings of a professional theater in a way that I don't think they really get at school a lot of the time. It's not sort of that same hands-on level with professional, experienced, trained artists.
You think they'll come away with something that through life will help will be just that added level of understanding whenever they see
absolutely
a stage piece or even beyond.
Absolutely. And we also part of the reason why we do the Backstage Experience is that we really think it's important to celebrate everybody in all areas of the theatrical production, not just those who are on stage, and so people, you sometimes have kids say, oh, I never thought about the person who does this, right? You don't necessarily think about that when you're just watching a show when you're young, and that it takes so many people with so many different areas of expertise in order to put on a musical, and that is everybody's equally important, and so it's really, I think it teaches them that there are a lot of ways to be involved in the arts. And it's not just you say, oh, I don't have the talent, or I can't sing, or I'm tone deaf. That doesn't mean that you can't do theater. There are opportunities for people of many different skill sets.
These are kids, so I imagine there are some embarrassing questions, some really funny questions, some insulting questions. You don't know what you're going to get.
You don't, and it's a lot of fun too. I think that's part of the fun. Right now for SpongeBob, I do the talkbacks after, and I think they mostly just think it's fun to talk to Patrick Starr, but then sometimes when we have, especially when we have some kids who are more like high school age, they really want to know about
right.
getting into professional theater and what that looks like going into college and beyond. So we have a good opportunity to be able to talk to them about that too, and talk about our experiences and see if we can offer some help.
Well, my name is Kara Lawrence, and I'm talking to Patrick Hunter and Eric Morris. They're here taking valuable time out of their schedule on Classical WMUK to preview The Wedding Singer, which is a musical starting next Tuesday, August 17th, and running all the way through August 29th. And the backstage experience, there is full information on the website, barntheaterschool.org. So that is how to find out where your child can get involved, mm-hmm. Through either school or this parent group or various, just reach out.
And there is availability for that program. So please do, if you're interested, give us a call.
Yeah, it sounds really fun. moving on to The Wedding Singer, why don't we hear another song here? This one called Someday.
Yeah.
Oh, tell us about that.
So this is Julia, who's in the film, the Drew Barrymore character. And when I was talking about the plot a little bit, we were talking about she's also she's engaged to be married as well. She's engaged to a New York Wall Street shark, if you will. And I think that she's happy to be engaged and happy to be moving forward with this. Actually, this song is before she gets engaged,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually her kind of dream engagement scenario. She's singing about what's going to happen someday when it's me, when I get engaged, and when I have a wedding. So this is very early on, and this is kind of, we see kind of what her dream scenario of love is going to be in this celebration of love. The show is really just a celebration of relationships and love.
And we talked about I Want songs last
yes.
time when
yes,
we listened to Simple
we
Sponge.
Did it.
So we're coming full circle here. So this is the I Want song for Julia.
Did you see the bride? She looks so perfect.
I know. Don't you hate her?
Hate her? She's so happy.
She turns around and she meets his gaze. The lights are dim. There's a smoky haze. They share a smile and a secret wave. It's a moment built to say.
That's from The Wedding Singer. I'm with Eric Morris and Patrick Hunter. Eric is playing Robbie Hart, the lead role, starting next Tuesday. Patrick Hunter playing Sammy, who's in the band, best friend. And I swear, you guys, wasn't that a song from the top 40 in the 80s? I mean,
right? Don't they all sound like it? That synth is undeniable.
Yeah, they knew what to do.
That's right.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we have a few minutes left to keep looking at this story and the people in it. So let's look at some of the people in it. Who plays Julia?
Melissa Cotton Hunter plays Julia. She is a favorite leading lady at the barn. She also happens to be my wife.
Congratulations.
She's very talented, if I do say so myself. But yes, yeah, she's playing Julia. And then we have
a couple apprentices are playing Jason is
Jason Kimmel.
Jason Kimmel is playing Glenn Gulia. Nathan Hody is playing George, who is the kind of the Boy George, the character that's modeled after Boy George, doing a great job. Your love interest, Holly.
Mm-hmm. Zoe Constantinides, she's playing Holly, who is Julia's cousin and becomes my love interest in the show.
And then Grandma Rosie is played by a Barn Wall of Fame member.
Mm-hmm. Roz Reno, she was a Barney a long time ago. Barney, I think if I'm not mistaken from that from the 70s, I think, is when she did her time, her apprenticeship at the barn. And she is returning to the company to play Grandma Rosie.
Just returned yesterday.
Just
jumped right into the rehearsal room.
She did, and she's fantastic.
We were talking about last week, we talked about the fact that these kinds of apprenticeship programs are more and more rare. They still do work, and they still give you the incredible amount of experience packed mm-hmm. into one summer that can give you a big lift in the early part of your career, mm-hmm. especially when you end up playing lead roles, minor roles, doing completely offstage things all the time.
Right.
Really thrown into the whole circus of theater. Mm-hmm. Aaron Czarnecki, was that?
Czarnecki.
Czarnecki, yeah. We were mm-hmm. talking about last week. He's the star of SpongeBob. Is he playing anything in this week, this show?
He's in the ensemble.
And I believe he's the Billy Idol impersonator at the end. So in the movie Wedding Singer,
kind of a walk on.
Billy Idol is actually in the movie as himself, but then in the musical, the way they've sort of cleverly done that is that when they get off the plane in Vegas, they encounter they say, "Wow, is that Billy Idol?" And it turns out it's a Billy Idol impersonator. So that Aaron Czarnecki is playing that.
That's just cool, mm-hmm. and a bit of an ego check too.
That's right.
Well, sure, and that's kind of. Part of the deal is you sort of balance the scales, you know. You're going to be the star one day, and then the next day you might be running the spotlight. You know, that's just the way it goes, you know. And that's part of the lesson, you know. That's good training to know that no matter what it is that you're called upon to do, whether it's a lead role or whether it's one line or whether it's, you know, moving a set piece, that you still have to give it the same amount of commitment.
Finally, I want to mention again that tickets are available at barntheaterschool.org. You can also learn about the Backstage Experience Program, bringing kids backstage to learn about theater from that website, and learn about all the additional shows. SpongeBob is currently in production through Sunday, and this show, The Wedding Singer, starts next Tuesday and will continue through August 29th. And there's lots more, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, this goes all the way into September.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Will you all be staying for the full season? Or, Eric, do you have to go back to, was it Minnesota?
Yeah. Patrick will be. I mean, Patrick's, you know, full-time here in a big role, important role at the barn. I do have to go back to Minnesota. I start rehearsal the next show I'm directing a week after I get back. So I have a little bit of week. I have a week to kind of take a breath, but also that will be a prep week as well. So no rest for the, what is it? Weary? Wicked?
Wicked.
No rest for the, Wicked. Musicals. Here we go.
Do you believe in, so you have a show to direct a week after you get back. Do you believe in that whole letting things percolate in the back of your head, not doing direct work on it, but allowing it to sort of grow in the back of your imagination?
Oh, yeah, sure. So this particular, a couple theaters in Minnesota, literally they run their shows for, you know, almost 4 to 6 months. So it's almost literally like the opposite schedule of the barn. So the planning process for the shows happens or can happen a lot sooner. So it's a situation for this particular show where the scenic design, you know, has been something we've been talking about for months, you know. So, I mean, we're getting, you know, we communicate via Zoom and we communicate via email. And, you know, we're able at this point, too, with some pretty good software to have digital designs of sets that we can look at.
Wow.
So, I mean, really the set can be sent in a digital model form, and I can even get in there and move pieces around and sense this. So, I mean, it's definitely been something that has been percolating. But I do think a lot of, you know, the hands-on work happens clearly during the rehearsal process, but then also that week before, that prep week. I mean, that's just important to get in there and know what you're, you know what you're going to bring to the table, you know, the following week, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you start percolating too soon, it potentially can get a little stale because you don't have the performers in the room to give you the energy back and to you know, to come up with their moments and their impulses. And so, yeah.
Mm. is it important not to get too locked into a vision?
I think
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. You want to make sure that, you know, kind of what you have, you know, scenically is going to work and have an idea kind of how logistically the show is going to move, especially in if it's a big musical. But you definitely don't want to get, you know, you want to make sure you can still put your foot on the gas. You don't want the brakes to be on before you even start and get the and get the performers in the space.
You know, this is very different than if you were a novelist or if you were a painter. You know, you can be the boss from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work that way in theater.
No, it's such a collaboration in the design. I mean, you really want to, you know, you want to empower your designers and empower your performers to be, you know, just as forefront in the process as you are as a director. So yeah.
As always, it's just been so fun to listen to what you have to say and to learn, you know, about the process. I just love it. And I want to remind listeners that The Wedding Singer is a huge 80s bomb that will go off at the Barn Theater starting next
definitely
week.
80s bomb is a very good way to describe it.
Great fun with the songs, really propulsive, moving along. A lot of folks already know the story, and like with SpongeBob, which had a theme of community coming together, this is about why love is so important.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Another takeaway that will leave you feeling great.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's about, you know, Robbie, who's obsessed with love, but the way he finds really finds true love is in a moment when he's not actually looking for it.
Mm-hmm. You know? Exactly.
Keep talking while I cue up the final song.
The final
sure.
song.
Well, are we doing right in front of your eyes?
And I'll let Patrick talk a little about the plot point of this song. But I just want to put a disclaimer out that this might be that's probably in my top five like musical theater songs. Like, I love this song so much. It's just such a great pop tune.
Yep, it's a great pop tune, and sort of in the style of Cyndi Lauper, I think is kind of what you'll hear. But this is my love interest in the show, Holly.
You don't even sing it, Eric?
No, he doesn't.
I don't. I'm gonna be in the. I told Zoe I'm gonna be in the wings every night. Just like I'm gonna have a sign that's like, "Yes, go. This is my favorite song."
This character Holly and my character Sammy have had a previous relationship and broken up, and this is a song that she's singing about, you know, realizing that maybe the one that she really wants has been right in front of her eyes the whole time, and that maybe Sammy was the guy for her after all.
The Wedding Singer starts next Tuesday. Thank you, Patrick and Eric.
Thank you.